do, but I think the lyrics sum up what I want us to look at as a message. And that is, our God is a great big God. How wonderful to be part of God's amazing plan. And those are effectively the two points that we will look at from the Ephesians passage. So in simple language, if I get boring or complicated or any of the rest of it, our God is a great big God that we see in Jesus, and it's wonderful for us to be part of his amazing plan. But if you had a look on Facebook, you saw me pop up there with the usual table talk questions. I didn't get around to printing them to stick them on the tables for you. But the questions were this. What world record would you most like to have your name listed as holding? I should check. We don't have any world record holders in the room, do we? Some of us are old enough to remember Roy Castle presenting Record Breakers. And Roy, I don't know if you know his story, became a Christian and had quite an amazing testimony and was beginning to be very used of God when sadly he got taken away with lung cancer, even though he had never smoked in his life. And his wife Fiona was very significant in setting up Christian Viewpoint for Women and Christian Viewpoint for Men, which is now called something else. Christian Vision for Men. Came out of that, which has led to a big men's conference that happens every year and so on as well. So world records and Roy Castle are all childhood memories for me. And every now and then you see people attempting some fairly silly and trivial world records. So it's worth asking if anybody's ever aspired to that, or which one you want to, like a chip eating record. Or something else. Okay. Second question I asked you was this. Give two reasons why your non-Christian friends might think the church is irrelevant to them. And sadly, some of the answers we give might have a lot to do with us and how we present church, or things that we've got wrong, or how we communicate our approval or disapproval of other things to other people. Those things and our weaknesses often become the reasons why other people don't want to come to church. Should that be so? Should that be what people see when they see us? We're going to come back to that on the second point. So that was the warm-up questions you had, the world record one and the reasons people don't come to church. So we're moving into today's service. And when I presented from Ephesians last time, I gave you, and it was just my pick of what Ephesians is about, but I found it a helpful framework. So I'm going to bring it back to you again for this message. The Ephesians overview I gave is that Ephesians is about our identity in Christ. Our identity in Christ. It's about the fact that we are chosen. God chose us. You did not choose me, but I chose you. God chose us. He redeemed us. He blessed us beyond measure. And there's a plan for our life. It's not just made up as we go along. It's not just down to us and what we feel like doing when we get up, when we wake up, whether we get up. God has a plan for our life. And that he models our family relationship. So the way we relate to God is a model of how we can relate as a family. The way we relate as a family is the model of the relationship that God intends to have with us. And then Ephesians underlines, and it climaxes in one sense with the armor of God passage towards the end, it underlines that we will be a frontline worker and a soldier in God's army. And that ties back to the fact that he has a plan for our life. Starts with the fact he chose us. Includes the fact he redeems us and blesses us. And he has a plan for us that means we are his soldiers here on earth. So there you go. Let's pray for how God might speak to us as we look at the verses today. Father, thank you that you promise that you will speak to us as we open your word. And I want to thank you for each person who's here today, each person who listens to this afterwards, and pray for them wherever they're at, that they would know you speaking to them, that your Holy Spirit would work in them and say to me, say to them that you are special, that you know them, that you have a plan for their lives and you want to bless them. May each of us know that. And may we know you speaking your words to us, to challenge us where we're at, the things that need to change in our lives, the ways that we might be able to bless and encourage others. But starting with this, Lord, we ask that you would fill our eyes with who you are and your greatness, that that might transform us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, on the table talk, I gave you this little definition to help you with my weird words in titles. I said that our theme is embodying, number one. And I just looked up what embodying, other words could be for embodying. Because it's not embalming or anything like that, sticking you in a tomb. It's embodying, which means symbolizing or personifying or typifying something. So embodying, number one, is our theme. So with that in mind, let's have a look at our passage, which is in Ephesians chapter 1. And I said I'd give you a little clue as to why you might find it easier to read back from verse 19. Well, depending on your translation, you might have to go further back than that. I'm actually going to read from verse 16, because I'm reading in the ESV. Different translations read more easily in different sections. ESV is known for its attempts to be fairly literal in its translation, which is quite helpful for us when we want to check what the more original translations were. And then when we get confused in the words and the flow, sometimes we go to the ones that try to break it up. Because Paul's original sentence starts at the beginning of verse 16. And he takes a deep breath and he goes all the way to the end of the chapter. So maybe it's helpful for us. I'm not going to do it in one breath, but it's helpful for us to do it from verse 16 to get his sense of building excitement. And then I'll just try and mark it when we get to 19. And then we go into the verses that we are particularly looking at this week. So starting Ephesians 1:16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope which he has called us, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his great power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might. And tonight, today's verses, verse 20 onwards, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Okay. I don't deserve the fact because I didn't do it in one breath. And probably didn't get all the excitement that Paul tried to get into it, but he couldn't contain himself as he was speaking about who Jesus is and what that means for us. So, who is this, is my question to you. I'm probably blocking your view. I'm going to work out. I was thinking how to do this before because there's a camera there now that's trying to get me in to get the video in. And I thought the clever thing is if I go off here, and then I come back on here just to confuse everyone who's watching on that camera. No, I don't know how well you can see the picture behind me. Who is that? Anybody know? Okay, so that was the second picture for those of you who might want to see her most recently. And then going through to the ones that you've seen right from winning the Open, the US Open, to being on the cover of Vogue magazine, and all the things that have happened in her summer job, because she's only just finished doing her A-levels, and you know how parents are, they want the kids to go and do something for the summer, so she went off to America and won quite a lot of money. And earned a bit of money on the magazine, and goes off and meets royalty when she comes back here. And maybe now she'll go to university. No, she doesn't seem to be doing that. I think she has some other plans. But one summer has transformed her life. And there is massive interest in her at the moment, because we like the kind of the girl next door feeling, don't we? And we like the sudden success feeling. I get quite worried for her now, because having got to that point where she's achieved all of this success, the pressure that's on her will be enormous. And just like we love applauding somebody when they come from nowhere, once they become something, we're quite good at pulling them down quite quickly. So if you want to compassionately pray for somebody, you might want to pray for her and the influences that will be coming her way in these next few months and years. But we relate to her. She is now a multiple world record holder because of the achievements that she's had in this summer. And she embodies number one. If I teach you a bit of Japanese, if you want to count, the first number, number one, is ichi. That's quite easy to remember, isn't it? And then two is down here as your knee. And it gets a bit more complicated after that. But ichi ni, you can do one, two in Japanese. The way they say best in Japanese is to say number one something. So beautiful is kirei. Most beautiful is ichiban, number one, kirei. Emma here is number one in her sphere right now. How about this person? Anybody know who is in this picture? Made it a bit harder with this one. I'll give you a moment while I duck. That's the same person. Does that help anybody? I'll give you a clue. There's a local connection. It's somebody who was been in this room. Yes. So Keely Hodgkinson. And we probably, even just in meeting here, can feel some connection to her. Certainly those who have been in Lee Harrier's will do that. And the picture I picked up here is back in 2017 when she had been in some cross-country races that were hosted here. So she had been around for a while, and everybody here would have celebrated her success even more for that connection. And probably those who are in Lee Harrier's now, who are training and aspiring for great things, will feel an extra, I can do it, look at her, she's done it. People have come from here to be number one in the different areas. When somebody achieves all of those things, we love to be able to claim a connection, to identify with them. And when we do actually have a connection with them, we take excitement from their achievement. And actually, if they're invested in us and go on to be the coaches of others and so on, we actually feel an empowerment from the fact that number one, at some point, is now investing in me. So those are some people connections that I think give us an insight into the passage. Because my question to you, when we look at this, is who is Jesus? And that was what Paul was trying to convey in the verses that we read together. Building up from verse 16, with lots of the things that Jesus has achieved and has done for us. So if we go back again and we look at it, Paul says, verse 16, how he's giving thanks for us. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, empowering us, that you may know what is the hope, that we get hope from seeing what he's done, the hope that he has called us, what are his riches, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in all the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards all who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above, and this is, we're into the verses now that we're looking at, So he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So he did amazing things. Christ was raised from the dead. He is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. That's like standing on the number one platform. He's done it. He's achieved the number one. He's seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named. All the titles, across all of them, he's the one who's at the top there, the one who has the power, the name that is above every name. And then it goes on, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. So I don't know how long, well, Keely's record only stands until somebody else comes along and gets the next gold medal in the next championship. Emma Raducanu, I don't know how long she will go on winning championships, how long she will last on the star circuit. But Jesus is there and will always be there. His world record is not a fleeting one. It's not just that he's had his time, he's had his season. It will be there from this age and also for the one to come. And everything is put under his feet, verse 22. So nobody else will come along. None of the world leaders that are in power now will always be in power. They've had their time, whatever their achievements, it comes and it will go. But Jesus is on the number one platform, the most loving God, the perfect God without sin. Not just at this moment, and maybe it will pass in some time, but he will always be in that place. So that's my answer for who is Jesus. But who do you know him as? If I had yelled out, as I did for the other two girls, who are they? Some of the answers came back as, she won the US tennis championship, and you talked about the positions that she'd achieved to say who she is. Or for Keely, it will be Olympic medals. Who do you know Jesus as? If I ask you, who is Jesus, what would your answers be? Think not just of your answer, but think if you were going to give an answer like Paul did, where you take a deep breath and then you reel off as many of the things that Jesus is to you as he was to Paul with the same excitement. Can you do that? Do you feel that he is that to you today? Or do we hesitate? Are we excited about who he is and what he's achieved? Or does it seem a bit distant and out there away from us? It really comes down, I think, to do you know him? Because when we meet somebody famous, it tends to make a big impression on us. And maybe the more significant that person is in their achievements and their interest in others, the bigger the impression that meeting on them, the impact that meeting them will make on us. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him in the way that you are wowed about him from close to? And because you know him, and you know the truth of everything that's spoken as a title, but you've seen it with your eyes and you've seen it in your relationship with him, that it changes you. Who do you know him as? And it goes on in verse 23 and says, end of verse 22, it says that Jesus is the head over all things to the church. And of the church, it says this, which is his body. And goes on, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So we've got the reference here to the fact that the church, us as a group of people here, not the building at Christ Church Pennington, because that's Christ Church Pennington and their building, and we don't have a building as such, but we don't need one because the church, the Christ Church Pennington, is not the building, it's the people that meet in it. And for us here at Sports Village Church, it's not the club room. It's us as a group of people. We are the church. The church is the body of Christ. I wonder where Paul got that from. Well, he actually uses the same reference quite a few times in Ephesians 4:32, in Ephesians 4:16, Ephesians 5:23, Colossians 1:18, Colossians 1:24, all speak about the church being the body. Or my favourite one is 1 Corinthians 12. And if I get the chance, I will love to give you a message from 1 Corinthians 12 one time. It will be the most involved message you've ever heard, because you will be blindfolded for part of it. And there will be dangerous items in the room whilst you are blindfolded and working out what the passage in 1 Corinthians 12 means about us being the body of Christ. But what does it mean to be the body of Christ? Well, if you go back and ask Emma Redekanu or even Keely about their I don't know how you ask somebody about their body, I think you get into trouble with that kind of question. How is their body important to their success? There you go, there's the kind of question we should ask. Their body is what they used to achieve the records and the trophies that they have. Okay, it was what they expressed themselves with. It's what they had to train. It's what had to be in shape and performing well for them to achieve their success. Without their body, they couldn't have done it. So what does it mean when it says that we are the body of Christ? It means that we represent Christ working in this world. He is working through us for the things that he wants to do in this world. Now, I'm amazed. I think of me as a Christian, and I think of my weaknesses. And even if I think of the most wonderful people in the world, like my wife, who I also know as a Christian, I can still see some weaknesses. And I wonder sometimes why God would be so patient with us. Because if I was God and I looked at Martin and Julie, there are plenty of times when I would say, forget this, and I'll rip open the clouds and I'll jolly well get on and do the task myself, because it's easier than leaving it to those two. But that's not what God does. He's chosen to reveal himself to us through Jesus. And that's why we saw the great flowing sentences on all that Jesus shows us of God. And he's not only chosen to reveal himself to us through Jesus, but he's then said that everything is in Jesus will now be embodied in you. You will be the body of Christ to the world around us. I am going to work through you. I'm not going to just rip the clouds open and say, forget those two or forget him. I am going to work through you. Wow. I think I'd be a pretty weak representation of him. Ah, hang on. Verse 22 says, the fullness of him fills us. Sorry, you're not allowed to be a weak representation of him. God empowers us by his Spirit, by his transforming us, by his releasing us from the sadness and the conviction and the condemnation that came from our sin, the weakness that comes from our sin. He transforms us to represent him in fullness, the whole of him in us, to reach out to other people. That was the climax of Paul's excited speech. Jesus was all of these things. He was on the top platform. He is the most powerful Saviour. He is the King of Kings. He is the one with perfect love who showed us perfect love. He's done all of these things. He's done the great list that I can't properly, being British and reserved and all the rest of it, don't express quite so eloquently as many have done. But Paul was excited about it, and he said that not only did Jesus embody all that God is, but we are his body and we do the same as his representation. And that's why he has a plan for our lives. And that's why we are spoken of as his frontline workers, to show that to other people. Now, I dug out a video that was probably recorded about 40, 50 years ago, and you're not going to get to see it today. This is a trailer for if you go back on the Facebook page later on, because I hadn't realized we've got no internet here now with the different COVID changes. It's got a bad quality soundtrack because it's an old recording, but it's a good old black American speaker getting excited about who Jesus is and giving all the titles that Jesus has. But he keeps coming back to the question, do you know him? And that's the question I want to leave with you, because embodying number one was Jesus. But we are also called to embody him. He transforms us that we can be Christ's foot soldiers in this world, but it only comes through our relationship with him. Do you know Emma Radicano? Do you know Keely? There might be some around here who do. Just having that connection might give you some excitement to speak to others. But knowing Jesus should not just give you a bit of claim to fame or a bit of excitement. It should be about a transformed life. Because everything that's in him, he wants to have in us and to use us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you help us, that you met us in our weakness, and that you help us to understand who you are. And you did everything that we might overcome our weakness, that you would be our Saviour, that you would help us in the right choices because you chose us. Father, help each one of us to be in that kind of relationship with you where we know you and we know you as our Saviour. And because of that, we know you transforming us. And if there's anybody struggling with that, then I ask that you will put people around them, that you will by your Spirit move in them, and that you will bring them to that point where they meet you and they can say, I know you. But I pray for those of us who are here as Christians, who say we know you, Lord, that we would be ready to wake up each morning knowing that that changes us, that you would help us live each day of our relationship as changed people, because we are your body, not in our power, not in our weakness, but by your fullness in us, that you chose us to be people you use to reach and to touch and to show your love to others, to show yourself to others. Help us to be those people daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.